In his State of the Union speech, the president said he wants America to be the country that cures cancer once and for all. And he just might get some help from a group of students and faculty at Kennesaw State University. They recently made a big scientific breakthrough with something called cellular penetration technology. And Dr. Jonathan McMurray led that Kennesaw State research team. He's the associate vice president of research at the university. And he joins us now. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, good morning.
You're going to make sure that even though we're not scientists, we're going to understand everything you say, right?
I'll do my best, but no promises.
Also with us is Vera Ingwa. She's one of the graduate students who worked on this project. Hi, Vera.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, so Jonathan, I understand that when you're talking about cellular penetration technology, you have a pretty good metaphor by talking about UPS drivers.
Yeah, sure. We like to think about our technology as a way to get biomolecules of interest from outside a cell to inside a cell. And I like to think of that as if you needed to order a tool from, say, Amazon to fix a problem in your house, and the UPS driver brought the package to you straight to your door and would not let go of the package.
Yeah, in the past, they wouldn't have let go of
correct.
That package.
So the cell penetration technologies that exist today are covalently linked to the package. We call it the cargo molecule. And they work. They get into the cells, but then the what researchers are trying to put in the cells stay trapped in what are called endosomes. And that's essentially
like
the front door of the cell.
Yeah, he's holding on to it.
And so our little twist on cell penetration technology is we found a way to get the cellular UPS driver to let go of the package and have it delivered to the right part of the cell.
And why is that such a breakthrough?
Well, it remains to be seen if it's a breakthrough. We're certainly very excited about it. There are any number, and we've thought of hundreds of applications for biotechnology, from research tool to diagnostics and eventually to therapeutics, that can be improved or created by this deliver-then-release technology. So, for example, there are a number of cancer pathways that are a result of genes either being turned on or off in inappropriate ways. If you can deliver a protein that then flips the switch the other way, you could, in theory at least, cure cancer.
Right, because you could turn off the switch and the cancer would at least stop growing.
Exactly.
Vera, how do you work with these kind of things? I mean, are you sitting in the lab with a huge microscope looking at these cells and these proteins?
Yes.
So describe to me your workday. You arrive at the lab, and what do you do?
So the night before, I always have my cells ready, that they'll be ready for the next day. So when I get in the lab, the first thing is I get my proteins ready, and I'll treat the cells with the proteins, and then I'll wait for them to, like, penetrate into the cells.
And can you actually watch to see the protein being delivered into the cell?
Yes, that's actually one of my goals right now. I want to see how fast those proteins can actually get into the cells.
How fast is it so far?
I think it's in the first 5 minutes of adding the protein to the cells. But again, I'm still kind of, I need to quantify that in order to be.
That too, by the way, is a significant advance over normal ways of modifying cells.
Most, the 5 minutes, you mean?
Yes. The most common way to modify cells is through something called transfection, and that can take days. So that's another promising aspect of our technology, is that we can alter the interior of cells in a very rapid and controllable way.
How, I mean, when you're looking at these, do you have any idea how many you've watched over the period of your time in the lab? Is it hundreds?
More than hundreds.
Thousands, maybe, that you've sat there and with your microscope watching the protein being delivered.
Yes.
With a timer.
Yes.
But, I mean, this is really important. What's the most, I mean, besides cancer, which is obviously very important and exciting possibility, what are some of the other applications you can think of that kind of get you excited?
So just the fact that you don't have to wait like days for
right,
transfection
that it's quick.
Is quick. And also transfection, just a couple of cells will be transfected. You're not sure even if the transfection you do today, you have them transfected by the next day. So the fact that you can actually deliver these proteins and then see them go into the cell, that's a really cool thing to me.
How targeted can it be? Or is it just you putting proteins in and you're assuming it's going to certain cells?
So our technologies that currently exist penetrates the cells that it encounters. The way I first took your question was, what can you put in? And the answer is about anything we can dream up. And so our delivery of proteins is not just delivery protein. It's delivery of a specific protein that the scientist, the physician, the patient are interested in doing. So
that's a really important distinction, because that's what when you talk about it being applicable to all kinds of things, this would be why.
Yes, let me give you an example. The reason why I'm in science is that moment of, oh, I think I've solved a problem. And, you know, reality sets in later and you usually don't, but that's what keeps you coming back for more. And so some time ago, when we first started seeing that our idea worked, I thought, oh, wait a minute, I think I've cured cervical cancer. And again, this is all in theory, it's all on the drawing board, but practically all cervical cancers are caused by human papillomavirus. When it integrates into the cell to cause cancer, one of its genes gets damaged, and that results in the virus turning off tumor suppression pathways and thus cancer. Well, somebody showed 15 years ago that if you just deliver a functional copy of the gene to the cells, it turns off the tumor. However, the strategies for getting the genes into cells hasn't worked. Well, guess what? We might have found a way. So we're very excited about it. We're pursuing a lot of these aspects that we can. And who knows, something great may happen.
Now, tell me a little bit about your team, because Vera, you are part of an effort at Kennesaw to diversify the type of people working in science. Yes. You're part of the Bridges to Doctorate program?
Yes.
What is that?
So it's a program that trains you in the master's and then leads you up to a doctorate program, getting your PhD.
So if you complete your master's, you're assured that you will also be in the doctorate program.
Yes, I've already been accepted into PhD programs.
Jonathan, is the thought behind that you assume that if you gave her the master, you've trained her well enough?
So we're not giving her a master.
Right.
She is an absolute rock star. She has seized every opportunity she can. And by the way, she's been accepted to Vanderbilt. So that's sort of an Ivy League school of the South. And that's what she's a great case study for what we're trying to do at KSU. One of the problems in science is that we're not very diverse. About 5% of biomedical PhDs go to underrepresented minorities. This is a big concern to a number of entities, including the National Institutes of Health. We wrote a grant proposal, which they funded, that takes students like Vera, so exceptionally talented, bright students who may have just not, in their undergraduate days, gotten what they needed to be successful in a program. For example, Vera was a biochemistry major who, because of scheduling issues, had never taken cell biology, and she wanted to do cancer biology. So she wasn't quite ready to go to a PhD program. She came to KSU. She's done phenomenal research. She's gotten great training, great results, and she's gotten the foundation she needs to launch successfully into one of the nation's top doctoral programs. We're very proud of her.
And what do you hope to do with your education and training?
So my education will be help to increase the knowledge in science and eventually the cure of cancer.
Is cancer the one thing that you're really interested in working on?
Yes.
So you'll continue to work with this particular project?
I'm going to use the project to continue with the next step of my training.
So then, Jonathan, as people come and go on your team, how do you proceed now? You've found out that there is a way to drop the protein off. What's the next step?
So hopefully Vera in her last couple of months at KSU is going to work out what we call the kinetics in dosing. Another advantage we haven't talked about is
kinetics in dosing.
Yeah, so kinetics is how fast how fast the protein gets in the cells, how fast it gets to where it needs to be. Another big issue, as you might imagine, is toxicity. So a lot of ways of modifying cells are toxic. To the best of our ability to see, and Vera's done quite a lot of initial work on this, it's not toxic at all. So it's another thing about which we're excited. But the Kennesaw is kind of an odd place to be, because 5 years ago, we didn't have graduate programs in the sciences. So we're rapidly growing. Our research culture is very vibrant, but it's small. It's like a small community as opposed to a large medical center where most of this sort of research occurs. But we're blessed with far more ideas than we have people to work on things. And so I have a first-year graduate student who's pursuing this papillomavirus work. I have a team of talented undergraduates who want to become scientists or physicians who are spending 2 or 3 years of their undergraduate careers working on the project as well.
And have you heard interest? We have about a minute left, but have you gotten interest from other scientists and researchers into what you've discovered?
Yes. So when the paper was initially available online in January, we got requests from around the world for copies of the paper. We haven't talked about it, but we're spinning off a little biotech company to hopefully develop this as a commercializable product. And people associated with the company are talking to other companies whose technologies could benefit from ours.
And if that happens, Kennesaw's little program would probably grow pretty quickly.
That's what we're hoping.
We're speaking with Jonathan McMurray. He's the Associate Vice President of Research at Kennesaw State University. And Vera Ingwa is a graduate student at KSU, at least for a little while longer, right, Vera?
Yes.
Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.